This is TWiT.
The big question that I think you and I both are interested in is, how much does high-resolution audio improve the sound? Can people hear it, the difference, obviously, or is it only a very subtle difference? Tell me about how the experiment came to be. Well, you and I started talking, but I don't want to be the one talking here. I'd rather let you be doing the talking. So give us a little history of this experiment, how it got started, and what we wanted to investigate and how we set it up.
Sure. I peruse, you know, various websites, and with the emergence of high-res audio as being sort of a topic these days, it's going to be featured at the AES convention in a couple of weeks. And it was a big event last summer during CE week that I know you were aware of and participated in. It's always been argued in these various tests that people do. I was in touch with a guy in Barcelona that was putting on a test, and I wrote back to these people, including the big Meyer and Moran AES paper, stating that, well, you know, you really have to have raw material. The stuff that you're evaluating as to whether it is perceptibly different than a standard CD, if it was a high-res file, has to actually contain content that exceeds that of a traditional CD. And the Meyer and Moran study was completely useless because it didn't. All of the files, all of the CDs, SA CDs, DVD audio, real-time down conversion to 44.1 was done on content that came from analog tapes and from other sources that didn't contain any additional dynamic range or frequency response than a standard CD. So how can you test for something that doesn't exist?
And what was very interesting about that Myers and Moran test, just let me interject here, is that they concluded that there was no significant perceptible difference between high-res audio and CD audio, which, of course, they would. And they used a number of people coming in and out. But I think the general conclusion would have been reached since there was no truly high-resolution content in the stuff they were playing.
Exactly. I mean, that's the point, is people, pushed that article quite heavily. And even the AES published it in their journal. And it's been, quoted many, many times as, well, this is proof positive that high-resolution music doesn't matter. Why are we going to all the time and trouble to try and record with higher sample rates and longer word lengths? I mean, they're not alone in that. But I get, I see enough of that quote. So I was very curious. In fact, I was in touch with one of the researchers at the time, and I asked him, well, what did you play? Well, what was the content that you actually played for your assembled group there, the people that were part of the Boston Audio Society and so forth? And the fact came back that the list, which you can see online now, and you and I have communicated about it, it's all, Elton John and a number of Chesky records done in SACD. And there's only one DVD audio in there, I think, actually something capable at 9624. I can't remember exactly which one. I think it was maybe a Steely Dan record. But all of them were contained within the parameters, the specifications of a compact disc. So if you're testing something that starts as a compact disc fidelity and then is down converted to CD quality, how are you expected to have any difference? So that kind of, it seems no brainer, but people still argue about it. So, mm-hmm. I'm not here to advocate that one way or the other is the right way, but I know that we aren't testing the right things until we come up with a rigorous test that starts and proves. I'm sitting in a room where I hope to have some speakers from my friends out at JBL and Harman, the reference monitors now that go up to 40K and amplification and a complete chain from the sources, my sources and others, where I can play for people in here in stereo or into surround material that I can measure with a microphone in here that exceeds a CD. If we can do that, then we've at least got a start for the test, and the procedures for that test will have to be worked out. But that's part of what I'm trying to push for is a rigorous, scientifically valid test that really sets the stage for answering the question, can we or can we not perceive as human beings the sound difference between a compact disc and a 96 kilohertz, 24-bit high-resolution version of the same exact file, not something that's been remastered, the very same file. And that's where you and I got talking, saying, well, I do have content that qualifies. Why don't we try a casual test and I will prepare those files. I'll take the 9624s and down convert them, and we'll seemingly qualify people for high resolution systems and see whether people can tell the difference. And I did the test myself, and we can talk about some of the results that came along. But I believe that there is a benefit, whether it's obvious, whether it's subtle. You know, I think it's on the margins, but given that we have hardware and playback forums or formats that can contain at least 9624, and I think that's enough actually, then we can more accurately reproduce what was in the room at the time the musicians were playing.